Hollywood unions cautiously welcomed Trump's movie tariff proposal. After the initial shockwaves subsided over President Donald Trump's May 5th announcement that he intends to implement a 100% levy on all foreign-made films, Hollywood labor unions ventured cautious optimism at the idea that at least someone in Washington might be paying attention to the plight of the industry's rank-and-file workers. President Trump has correctly recognized that the American film and television industry faces an urgent threat from international competition. Leaders of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, one of the largest and most powerful entertainment unions, said in a statement, "Foreign governments have successfully lured film and television productions, and the multitude of jobs they create, away from the United States with aggressive tax incentives and subsidies. Films intended for initial release in the U.S. are increasingly being shot overseas, and American workers and our economy are paying the price. The entertainment industry has taken an unrelenting beating over the past several years. Streaming wars, the pandemic, mergers and layoffs, strikes, and accelerating runaway production have gutted the industry, leaving record numbers without work and little hope of a rebound. Runaway productions generally refer to productions intended for release or broadcast in the United States, but actually filmed in another country, or those made by LA-based studios that shoot in other states in order to take advantage of competitive tax incentives or other economic benefits. Calling incentives offered to lure production overseas a concerted effort by other nations, and thus a national security threat. The president said he was authorizing the Department of Commerce and the U.S. Trade Representative to immediately begin instituting 100% tariffs on any and all movies coming into our country that are produced in foreign lands. How exactly tariffs on foreign films would work, or really what even constitutes an American-made or foreign-made film in the age of streaming, co-production, and globalized post-production, is yet to be determined. Unlike most of Trump's trade-related actions thus far, this latest salvo targets not physical goods that come through U.S. ports, but digitally transmitted services that rely on an increasingly international supply chain. There are also questions surrounding the legality of imposing tariffs on film and television under what appears to be Trump's invocation of the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which offers broad powers to regulate economic transactions such as sanctions and tariffs during national emergencies, but protects the exchange of published information or informational materials, including films. The impulse, at least, was appreciated among representatives of Hollywood's beleaguered workforce. In a statement, the Teamsters applauded the apparent intent to push back against the years-long hollowing out of the industry, which the union blamed on studios that follow corporate America's crooked playbook of outsourcing union jobs. Studios chase cheap production costs overseas while gutting the American workforce that built the film and TV industry. These gigantic corporations line their pockets by relentlessly cutting corners, abandoning American crews, and exploiting tax loopholes. Teamsters President Sean M. O'Brien and Motion Picture Division Director Lindsay Doherty said in the statement, "The union's motion picture and theatrical division represents drivers and transportation professionals, as well as casting directors, animal wranglers, and other crafts. We thank President Trump for boldly supporting good union jobs when others have turned their heads. This is a strong step toward finally reigning in the studio's un-American addiction to outsourcing our members' work." The Teamsters applaud any elected official, Republican, Democrat, Independent, who's willing to fight for American workers, they said. The president's missive appeared to address the fact that an increasing number of American studio films are shot abroad, primarily in Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, and European countries such as Hungary, which offer competitive subsidies and tax breaks, easy regulatory environments, and lower labor costs for producers trying to deliver a project on budget. IATSE, which represents members in the United States and Canada, also struck a cautious tone, saying it supports all policy measures that can be implemented to return and maintain U.S. film and television jobs, while not disadvantaging our Canadian members. IATSE urged federal policymakers to level the playing field for U.S. productions, including with a federal film production tax incentive, but said it would await further information about the administration's proposed tariff plan. "We continue to stand firm in our conviction that any eventual trade policy must do no harm to our Canadian members, nor the industry overall." In a recent survey by industry analyst ProdPro, studio executives named their top five preferred locations for 2025 to 2026, and none of them were in the United States. Toronto, the U.K., Vancouver, Central Europe, and Australia dominated the list, with U.S. hubs California, Georgia, and New Jersey ranked below them. Key factors influencing these preferences include favorable tax incentives, infrastructure, available skilled crew, and currency exchange rate. The report said, noting an increasingly competitive market of tax incentive schemes will likely shape geographic distribution for years to come. The company's 2024 second quarter global production report shows the total number of productions filming globally last year was still 16% lower than in 2022 and 37% lower in the United States. The lower volumes are here to stay, the report notes, showing the number of U.S. productions that started principal photography in the second quarter of 2024 fell nearly 40% from 2022 levels, compared with a 20% global dip. Amid this ongoing global decline and sharp competition, filming in Los Angeles, the industry's historic center, continued to tumble through the first quarter of this year. According to Film LA, a nonprofit and the official film office of LA City and County, on-location production in the greater Los Angeles area dropped by 22% in the first quarter of this year, with feature production declining about 29%. Each drop reflected the impact of global production cutbacks and California's ongoing loss of work to rival territories, the organization said in an April statement. There is no central database or reliable way to track runaway production, which has been a subject of concern for Hollywood unions for at least the past two decades. But in the industry, many observe it has accelerated over the past five or so years at an unprecedented rate. Built by the middle class, other union leaders cautioned against a blanket tariff that fails to account for the realities of the industry. If this tariff policy is just a headline reaction to productions leaving the U.S., it's not a solution, it's sabotage, David Graves, an executive board member with IATSE Local 728, which represents studio electrical lighting technicians, told the Epoch Times in a text message, stressing that the film industry doesn't run on the same timeline or structure as a brick-and-mortar business. Graves said a one-size-fits-all approach may do more harm than good unless informed by people who work in the industry. If the administration truly wants to understand how to apply tariffs to the American film industry, they need to talk to electricians, grips, camera operators, and wardrobe, not just A-list actors who are disconnected from the realities of payroll taxes, foreign incentives, and what economic contraction looks like on the ground, Graves said. Big-name producers and celebrity voices, he said, don't speak for the working-class crews who are watching their livelihoods disappear with no transition plan, no retraining support, and no safety net. A day after Trump's tariff announcement, Oscar-winning actor John Voight, whom Trump previously named a special ambassador to Hollywood, said in a video posted to social media platform X that he submitted a detailed plan to the president at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida outlining certain tax provisions that would help both movie and TV production. Our industry recently has suffered greatly. Many Americans have lost jobs to productions gone overseas. People have lost their homes, can't feed their families, Voight said. The same day, Deadline, an industry publication based in Los Angeles, published a draft of Voight's Make Hollywood Great Again proposal, which includes a 10% to 20% federal tax credit that would be stackable on top of available state incentives already provided by states like New York and Georgia. In an emailed statement to the Epoch Times, Stephen Paul, an advisor to Voight and CEO of SP Media Group, said the document published by Deadline was part of a private discussion and was never intended for public consumption. The proposal was crafted solely for the purpose of discussion, Paul said, and didn't reflect any formal policy or position. And while the ideas listed were gathered from exploratory conversations Voight and Paul had with a broad range of industry stakeholders, including unions, studios, and streaming platforms, Paul said the leaked proposal does not claim to represent the collective views of the participating film and television organizations. Voight's draft plan requires that 75% of physical production and post-production take place in the United States in order to qualify for the federal incentive, and must meet a minimum threshold American cultural test similar to that currently used in the UK. All of this would apply to content across the board, including for theatrical distribution, broadcast networks, and cable, as well as streaming services such as Netflix and Amazon and digital platforms such as YouTube. The draft plan calls for a steep tariff for U.S.-based productions that elect to produce in a foreign country, 120% of the value of the foreign incentive. This is not meant as a penalty, but as a necessary step to level the playing field. While not creating a never-ending cycle of chasing the highest incentive, the document reads, the draft plan also addresses California-specific issues, including the state's woefully inadequate tax incentive, and calls Hollywood an endangered species. California Governor Gavin Newsom was quick to respond, suggesting the state and federal government collaborate on a $7.5 billion federal tax incentive. California built the film industry, and we're ready to bring even more jobs home, Newsom wrote in a post on X. We've proven what strong state incentives can do. Now it's time for a real federal partnership to make America film again. At POTUS, let's get it done. Such a federal incentive would be separate from Newsom's existing proposal to more than double his state's tax incentive to $750 million annually. If tariffs, or a combination of tariffs and increased domestic incentives, bring jobs back to the United States, Graves said, the next question is whether the United States has the infrastructure to support the volume of work. Foreign markets will respond faster than Washington can legislate. They will offer accredited investors more stable, reliable opportunities, boosting their liquidity, increasing mid-budget productions, and creating consistent employment pipelines abroad that the U.S. cannot currently match, Graves said. The American film industry is not made up of the wealthy. It is built by the middle class. When it comes to job creation and labor stability, it is not the blockbuster films that create employment at scale. It is the steady, mid-tier productions that do the heavy lifting. Where are movies made? There is no simple answer. According to independent data analysis by Stephen Follows, a UK-based entertainment industry analyst, since 2000, around a third of global feature films can be classified as American, while major American studios accounted for more than 87% of all global features in 2024. The data relies on IMDb's self-reported country of origin. There is no universal database or framework for defining or verifying a film's national identity, Follows wrote in a Substack post following Trump's announcement. IMDb allows producers to self-report, while awards bodies, festivals, and national funds each apply their own criteria. These systems often conflict, leading to different answers depending on who is asking and why. Further, he pointed out, many films today are co-productions between two or more countries, with streaming platforms such as Netflix routinely commissioning projects with no clear country of origin. A project might be developed in LA, produced by a UK company, shot in Spain, and marketed as international content. Principal photography might take place in more than one country, while post-production, special effects, editing, and music is increasingly a global phenomenon, outsourced to centers with burgeoning infrastructure in countries such as Canada, the UK, New Zealand, and India. Any plan to impose tariffs would require a consensus on what determines a film's national identity. Currently, the United States has no formal definition of what makes a film American. There is no certification process, no threshold of domestic content, and no single agency responsible for determining national status, Follows wrote. According to Follows' analysis, about 24% of films made by Hollywood studios had at least one day of filming in the UK in 2019, and more than 19% had some photography in Canada. If the president's plan follows Voight's recommendations, a requirement that American-made films and shows have at least 75% production and post-production done in the United States might be a starting point. Structural changes. Actors, directors, and producers, as well as their below-the-line counterparts, are accustomed to the ebb and flow of work in Hollywood. There are always lush times and lean ones. But this could be different. According to a 2024 report from Otis College of Design and Westwood Economic and Planning Associates on the Hollywood workforce, Los Angeles remains the industry leader despite growth in other locations. But the industry is more white-collar than it has ever been, with a surge of knowledge-intensive occupations and college-educated workers, as its traditional blue-collar jobs are increasingly outsourced. Patrick Adler, co-founder of Westwood Economics and Planning Associates and co-author of the Otis Report, said the new reality of Hollywood is more managerial and best understood as a kind of Silicon Valley. Hollywood itself is not a place where films and TV shows get made or where they get shot, he told the Epoch Times in late 2024. It's a place where they're generated. It's like the brain, the nerve center of the industry, a huge management area, and that hasn't gone anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Whereas Silicon Valley used to build chips and now outsources that function, he said, no one ever says, Silicon Valley is done because they don't make silicon chips anymore. But for some reason, Hollywood people say Hollywood is dead because there's runaway production. Well, production is a lot more like manufacturing silicon chips than doing the kind of core value-added stuff, he said. It's not all about shooting. But for the tens of thousands of camera operators, grips, lighting technicians, costume department workers, hair and makeup artists, and composers who say work never returned after the strikes, that new reality means fewer spaces for the skilled trades and crafts that built the industry in the first place, and more power concentrated in a managerial class that increasingly outsources production to countries with cheaper labor. Potential repercussions. Unlike many industries in which President Trump is looking to address a trade deficit, the United States has a hearty surplus in film and television programming. According to the latest reporting from the Motion Picture Association, a trade association that represents the five major U.S. film studios, in 2023, the United States exported more than $15 billion more than it imported. The production and distribution of motion pictures and television programs is one of the nation's most valuable cultural and economic resources. The report stated, noting the industry's trade surplus is 6% of the total U.S. trade surplus in services. And, according to a report from Gower Street, only 29% of the $24.2 billion in gross sales in 2024 was domestic. That means the majority, 71%, of U.S. box office revenue is generated in other markets. Tariffs, should they be implemented, could impact U.S. studios that co-produce and outsource various parts of a diverse international supply chain more than foreign-made film studios, which don't have anywhere near the economic or cultural power that U.S. studios do. Graves of IATSE Local 728 cautioned against underestimating the response from foreign trading partners. Countries like Canada, the UK, and Australia have developed robust federal agencies dedicated to attracting film production, he said, noting one of the main reasons mid-tier productions, those budgeted between $6 million and $35 million, are no longer viable in the United States is we don't have federal infrastructure to support them. Such films are disappearing because investors can't justify the risk, not because there's a lack of demand, he said. Other countries have studied this. They understand that these smaller productions generate significant jobs with far less taxpayer investment. In response, they have created streamlined production and distribution incentives that we simply do not have, especially not at the federal level. If the United States were to enact 100% tariffs on all foreign content entering its market, he said, it may be grossly underestimating its competition's ability to adapt. These nations are not just capable of retaliatory tariffs. They are capable of deploying better tax incentives, better infrastructure, distribution networks that attract even more of the work we are trying to bring home. UK and Canada response. Politicians and union leaders in the United Kingdom and Canada expressed alarm over the potential impacts on an industry still recovering from the pandemic and the 2023 strikes. These jobs fuel our local economy and art scene, meaning tariffs would hit us especially hard. I will stand up against these threats and advocate for the protection of our film sector, Ted Hsu, a Canadian member of parliament, said in a post on X. A December 2024 report by the Canadian Media Producers Association shows 49% of total film and television production in 2023-24 came from foreign locations and service production. Such foreign incentivized production would presumably be a primary target of tariffs aimed at revitalizing U.S.-based production, although the Trump administration has not offered details. A White House spokesperson followed Trump's initial announcement with a statement that no final decisions have been made, and the administration was exploring all options to deliver on the president's directive. The Department of Commerce did not immediately respond to detailed questions about how the tariffs might work. Michael Bavan, CEO of the Production Guild of Great Britain, struck a conciliatory tone in an emailed statement to the Epoch Times. PGGB stands shoulder to shoulder with our UK film partners to make sure that we protect both our world-class film industry and freelance workforce at this time of uncertainty around US tariffs, Bavan said. We have a long and mutually beneficial relationship with our U.S. filmmaker colleagues and friends, which will always be celebrated for its creativity and collaboration, regardless of geographical or political boundaries. We see no reason for this unquestionably successful partnership to be disrupted now or in the future. A media representative for the Guild said it is working with representatives from across the UK screen agencies, broadcasters, studios, and streamers to formulate a response to the proposed tariffs. Meanwhile, Philippa Childs, head of BECTU, which represents 40,000 workers in the entertainment and media industries in the UK, said in a statement that the tariffs, coming after COVID and the global slowdown, could deal a knockout blow to an industry that is only just recovering and will be really worrying news for tens of thousands of skilled freelancers who make films in the UK. The government, she said, must move swiftly to defend this vital sector and support the freelancers who power it as a matter of essential national economic interest.